Being on the on search committees for professor positions and things like that at the university, it always really, really annoyed me that people couldn't use spell check. So if there's anything, any little piece of advice that I could give for resumes and other things, and Kurt's going to give a lot more, but spell check. Have somebody read it. If you're not a native English speaker, have somebody read it. If I'm going to go into Mexico and apply in Spanish, I better have somebody who's a native Spanish speaker look at it. So with that, Kurt's got a lot more great advice for you on getting that position that you want and presenting yourself in the right way. So with that, Kurt.
Okay, I'd like to invite up some panelists. I'd like to have Kate and Dennis and Dean all come up. And I'm going to spend a few minutes recapitulating and recapping some of what our previous several speakers have done. And we'll try to move along so we can get to our career fair networking. Again, we've wanted you to think about what the path is and how there might be different ways that you go on a path. And each path might be somewhat unique. And in some cases, there's some serendipity. In some cases, there are good things that happen. I had a conversation during the break, and the conversation was about one of our speakers was had a lot of good luck in their career. And I said it reminded me of Thomas Jefferson. Thomas Jefferson also had somebody accusing him of always finding good fortune. You know, Thomas Jefferson, you always find good fortune. And his response was, I work really hard at finding good fortune. So something to find out about that. So, talk about it again. Finding a job is $1 million decision. It's $1 million decision for the employer, and it's $1 million decision for you. And it really is kind of a dating game. It's Match.com. You want to find the right fit, and you want to be the right match. You want to be the right match for the organization that's going to hire you, and you want that organization to be the right match for your career, your life, your skills, and your knowledge set for that. So when you're thinking about it, time is really important. Now, at some point in time, you might be up here after you've been in the career field for 35 years. And I have to admit, when I was a PhD student, I never thought I would work for 35 years. I intend to work for another 10. I plan to be a professional for 45 years. So if I thought about it when I was looking for a job and said, how much time should I put into the application process for a job that I'm going to spend 45 years in? Is it worth 10 minutes or 10 hours or 10 days in that preparation? So time is important. And also then forming a strategy for that. So there's some of these steps going into the job that we've already heard about. You need to do some career exploration. You need to do your research. You need to know yourself. You need to identify those jobs. You need to understand the job role, the job announcement, what you're really looking at. There's some personnel matching. Your skills need to match that job. And we can kind of think that this is the first step in that finding that career. And then there's these second steps of actually getting the application off. We tend to always focus on getting the application off, but let's focus on the important part, putting the time in to those first components to it. Doing research. We heard a lot about that in our previous speakers. The first step in doing research is know yourself. Sit down and ask yourself the questions that you would be asked on that interview. What are your skills? What can you do? What have you accomplished? What will you do for me? What will you do for my organization? Look yourself up on Google. Look yourself up on social media. Research yourself and know who you are, because the people that want to meet you are going to do that. So that should be your first step. You ought to know the company, the agency, the department you're going to work with backward and forward. We just interviewed somebody at my university for a job that would have paid around $225,000. And we asked some very simple questions. Do you know about what we do? And the answer office came back like, oh, I didn't know that you had a campus in Rome. Oh, I didn't know that you actually taught 13 languages. And I thought, wow, he's interviewing for a job that pays $200,000 with a vice president title, and that candidate had not memorized everything about our institution. And we essentially just at that point in time, the interview was basically over for everybody. We just enjoyed the meals after that. So really, understand it. Do the research on where you're going. Know everything about everyone in that organization, because they're going to do the same thing about you. So understand them real well. Understand the position. What are you going to be expected to do? Know what that is. And you need to understand what are going to be the key indicators of success that you're going to have for that. As you just heard, every application for every position in every organization is going to be different. You need to make it unique. You don't want to send in a form for everything. It should be tailored for that organization, for that position, for that time, for the responsibilities that you're really looking for. So you want to be specific for that company or that organization. The cover letters, the resume, the CV, you really want to impart in those documents what knowledge, what skills you have that satisfy the need of the organization that's going to hire you. For instance, here, three jobs, all requiring a PhD. An assistant professor of 50-50 research teaching, doing work in both fundamental and applied physiology, heat tolerance of vegetables, major land grant university, state-supported university, a department of 15 faculty. Or you're going to be a lead horticulture scientist at a national research laboratory working on vegetable physiology. Or you're going to be a research scientist and technical support staff person for a privately owned company. All of them require a PhD. All of them require the same basic educational knowledge set and experience. But how do those jobs differ, and how are you going to prepare what documents you send for those specific things? Understand your brand and your profile. What is your brand? Brands are everything. You love brands. You wear Nike or Adidas, or you drink Coca-Cola or Gatorade. Brands mean everything. So what is your brand? What do you stand for? What value added do you bring to the organization that you're going to apply for? What's your professional profile? We just heard about that. Do you have a professional profile beyond a piece of paper? Do you have a professional profile beyond your lab group? What is that professional profile? Do you have a public profile? What are you doing in your community? Whether that community is your department or the college or the institution or the community, the city that you live in. What's your public profile? What do people think about you? What would people say about you? And then what's your personal profile? What does your social media say about you? Actually, one of my undergraduates started working for a major organization, a horticulture landscaping organization. He's moved into management, and now he's in talent acquisition. One of the things he does is check all of the social media for their employees, because they want value added. They don't want value distractors. Because they know that when they send that an employee out in the field to meet with a client, the client is going to look that person up. And if they see something bad about that employee that's taking care of their landscape, that reflects negatively on the company, and they're going to lose a contract. So what's your personal profile and your profile? So steps in getting that job: research, knowing yourself, and all of these first kinds of things. And then we get to the second part, preparing the application, that portfolio that we have. And then we're going to get the interview, and we're going to negotiate, and you're going to show up and work hard for that. The application process, we just heard, has several component parts. There's an application, cover letter, a resume or CV, and possibly a portfolio of work. The process is putting that all together, submitting it, and then following up. Did you hear our previous speaker said following up is important? Putting it in the mail or hitting send is not a follow-up. But how are you going to follow up to make sure that they received it? What about a good letter? Cover letter, it's a formal communication. It's a critical piece of the application process. It introduces yourself and your credentials. It tries to ignite imagination of the reader. It's going to try to get them to respond positively on your behalf. And every word matters. The words that you use and the way you present them really matter. As we just heard a previous speaker, he's looking for something that's going to cause him to act. And he's going to have one of two actions. It's going to go over there in that pile, never to be seen again, or it's going to go in the pile here where we're going to make a phone call. So you're going to want to elicit a response, hopefully for the phone call response. It's the way you make that first impression. You want to make the reader of those letters act. You don't want to rehash the resumes we just heard. It's actually adding value, and it's putting in mortar in between the bricks of the experiences on your resume. Cover letters and resumes, they really need to be perfect, because we just heard a spell checker is important. Get help. Let somebody look at it. Actually, have your mentors look at it. Have your department chair look at it. Have others look at it. Have people that have made hiring decisions look at your materials before they go out. Customize. Make each one very, very personal. And you're going to write to the reader. Know who you're sending that off to. Are you sending that to Dennis? Are you sending that to Kate? Are you sending that to Dean? Who is going to be reading your information for that? Resumes and cover letters, it's all really, and CVs, it's all about getting noticed. Really, the goal of your resume or your CV is to get an interview. That's the purpose of it. You want to make sure that you have the skills in the jobs, that you're going to have value added to that position. It also helps set the job expectations. If you've had this set of experiences, you've had these roles and responsibilities before, that starts to set the expectation where you're going to start. And it actually sets salary expectation. So those can be really important. Oh, here's a little cartoon. You know, the employer's looking at somebody just submitted a resume and said, "This is a highly deceptive resume. Welcome aboard." What would you think of a company that would hire you if you falsified, forged, or lied, or told tales in your resume? Is that the company that you want to work for? Well, something to think about. Differences between resumes and CVs. A curriculum vitae or CV is typically aimed at academics and really focuses on academic achievement, scholastic achievement. Where a resume really is going to be focused on skills, knowledge sets, what you can do, what you have done. So they are distinctly different. So if you're applying for different jobs and they ask for a resume or if they ask for a CV, those are a little bit different. Don't make them too long, but don't make them too short. We just heard that message. The rule of thumb is most hiring decisions are made in the first 60 seconds of looking at a resume. That's how long you have to sell your brand, tell your story. 60 minutes of reading. The average person reads 120 words a minute. So they're going to read 120 words that you put in, a Twitter message essentially, and make a hiring decision, a $1 million decision. So those words really, really matter for that. Problems, common mistakes, they're sloppy or disorganized. They have grammatical, typographical errors. They're not related to the job you're applying for. They focus too much on you and not on your employer, what you can do for your employer. They're not concise. They're not direct. They're not to the point. They're not specific to the position you have. They're not focused on results. They're not focused on what you can do as they should be. After you submit those, of course, a follow-up is important, and we just heard that as well. You want to move your letter to the top by making sure it was received, demonstrating enthusiasm, demonstrating some persistence, and you want to keep your name in front of the decision makers. Getting the interview. So what's the purpose of an interview? It's not a pass-fail test. It's really more of that matchmaking. It's data collecting. It's more research. It's research for the employer. The employer is going to do a look and see into you and test drive you. They want to learn more about you than what's in the resume. More than those first 60 to 90 seconds. They want to look and listen about your education, about your experience, about your skills, about your interests, about your abilities, and about your personality to see if you fit, to see if it's a match made in heaven, to see if you're worth $1 million. For you, it's research. You want to see, is this the employer you want to look for? It's a look and see. It's a test drive. It's to learn about the job, to learn about the others that you're going to be working with. You want to see, are you a good fit for the position? And is this the right place for you? And so it really is research. You're going to look and listen about the company, about the people, and about the career and job expectations that you'll have for that. You want to know that company. You want to know that organization, the responsibilities. You want to know what opportunities will be provided for you in the future. Because really, it's not the first day on the job that you're worried about. It's, are you going to work for 40 years? That's a career. The first day is showing up. But is this the place that you're going to spend some time? And you want to know how success is going to be measured. You need to ask that. How am I going to be determined if I was successful in what I do? The last kind of thing here is, remember, when you're out on an interview and you're putting in your application, consider yourself a knowledgeable, skilled resource broker. You're a contributor. You're bringing value to the enterprise that you're applying. You are not a job beggar. You're going to help somebody out because of what you can do. Okay, so I've got some experts up here, and I'm going to spend about 10 minutes. I got some questions that I have for them. I'm going to pull up on my phone, if I can do that. Again, you've heard all of these speak today. I'm going to ask them each a couple questions here. So, Kate, you've looked at a lot of applications and resumes for commercial purposes. What are some of the things that really caught your attention when you looked at really, really good resumes and applications? Great, thanks. Dean, this is for you. You're a department chair. You're interviewing new faculty member. You want your department to be the best environmental horticulture department in the United States. What are some things that have really killed an interview? Somebody has showed up, and you had great high hopes for them, and then after an hour, you said, it's no go. Oh, thank you. Dennis, we heard a lot in the previous presentations about the importance of giving a presentation as part of the interview process, a seminar or a teaching presentation. What are some of the things that you have observed in your years as a professor that have been the home runs that have been hit with a seminar presentation, that you heard that and said this is a good scholar, or you heard that and said this is going to be a good teacher?
No, I understand. The other thing is, in your presentation, I'm not going to talk about slides forever, but generally in business called death by PowerPoint. Someone puts up a data slide and it's this huge table. Now you stared at that table for 3 months to understand it. And you got, I have 30 seconds. My eyes have and you say, as you can clearly see from these data, no, I haven't focused yet. So all these, it's lots of little things. It's organization, it's pace, it's know who your audience is, who who are you talking to? Are you talking to administrators? Are you talking to students? Are you talking to peers? So it's bodies and stuff like that.
Okay, I'm going to ask all three of you this question. You know, we have interviews, and I just interviewed for a job about 2 years ago, and I was really nervous. And I'm sure everybody else could tell I was nervous. How does personal behavior and how you act and speak during an interview affect the interview process? Okay, one last quick question for you. Just keep the microphone. We're going to go work back way. If you had one tip, one secret tip for helping a student find a good career, whether it be their application, their cover letter, their resume, or the interview, what was your secret tip?